like this amount of violations of the international law, the human rights laws, it's very clear that it's violated every day by the Israelis, but nobody almost cares. The opposite. They kept receiving weapons and money and relationships diplomatic covers.
We have to leave it there. I thank you so much. Look forward to interviewing you and Yuval in the United States. Bassel Lodger, co-director of the Ashkenazi documentary, No Other Land.
State laws ban abortion for 1 in 3 women across the country. They are forced to remain pregnant or travel out of state for the care they need, depending how far they have to travel, whether they drive themselves or take other methods of transportation, how long they may have to stay, and countless other factors like lost wages or childcare, plus the cost of the medical care itself. The financial burden can be overwhelming, if not impossible to afford. To see each of their stories and to learn about the real cost of having to travel for abortion access, visit bansoff.org.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook, broadcasting on 90.1 FM, 107.3 FM, and over the internet at WUSB.FM. It's 6 o'clock. It's another Tuesday evening, which means it's time for another edition of Off the Wall. And welcome to another edition of Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, joined tonight by Kyle.
Yo.
Yeah, every day I get stopped by people on the street who say they love the new theme. First of all, it's really rude to stop people on the street, you know? They're going somewhere, and you're basically blocking them. You know, you don't know where I'm going, so just maybe walk alongside me if you want to say something. Or shout from across the street, that's better. But stopping people, yeah, that's how we communicate in this country. But, yeah, the theme, it really, don't know. It speaks to me. I know that. I know it speaks to you, Kyle. There's kind of a bit of darkness, but also a bit of individuality and hope and spirit.
Yeah, there's a glimmer mm-hmm. in there of it, just faintly emerging, and things, I think, catching up with the times.
Yeah.
The individual spirit, as you said, catching up. Mm-hmm. And
that solitary note.
Yeah.
I really like that a lot.
The plucking, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And we need that. We need that. We're going to need it today, actually. Today's, oh boy, such sad news today. It's really sad on so many levels. You guys watch the news at all today? Like, international news? What's going on in the world? It's not good. It's really not good. It's the same reason, you know, why things are going to hell in this country, they're going to hell in the rest of the world. One guy who represents a lot of other people, really is causing all kinds of unnecessary mayhem. And I really, really feel for the people of Ukraine right now. Because do you remember a bunch of years ago how Trump sold out the Kurds in Syria, just kind of left them there? You know, for ISIS to dispense with or for Assad. Same thing. He's selling out the Ukrainians. After all the fighting they have done, after all the resistance they have shown to the Russian invasion. Today he actually said something. I don't have the exact quote, but he said something to the effect of it was a mistake for Ukraine to get involved in this war. It was a mistake to be invaded. He literally is blaming the country that was invaded, saying they shouldn't have done that. I mean, how do you communicate with that? How do you counter that? It's impossible. The guy has absolutely no knowledge of the region, or any region really, but he comes at this with, you know, a bounty of ignorance and expects things to work out. And of course, you know, the Russian side, things are working out quite nicely. And again, folks, this is all stuff that we've talked about in the past. You know, a lot of people, not just us, have said, you elect Trump, this is going to happen. Well, this is happening now because we elected Trump. We as a collective in this country. And I see a lot of finger pointing. I see a lot of blame being spread around, but it really comes back to that. We voted for him. We made this happen. And now, you know, just looking at the table today, there's this massive table. Where were they? In Riyadh, in Saudi Arabia? Basically, United States on one side, Russia on the other side. First of all, Marco Rubio, our Secretary of State, I can't say that with a straight face, but he looks like he's 12. You know, I don't know how old was he, 50? I don't know how old he is, but he looks like he's 12, and he certainly acts like he's 12. And I'm sorry, 12-year-olds. I don't mean to insult you. But this guy is not prepared for this, and it's obvious. Just look at the room. Look at the room. Who looks experienced? Who looks grizzled? Who looks like they get what they want and they know how to get it? It ain't him. It ain't Marco Rubio for sure. But yet there he is, representing Ukraine without Ukraine being in the room, because they don't really care about Ukraine. It's becoming more and more obvious every day. I mean, imagine this. Ukraine losing hundreds of thousands of people to an invasion they did not ask for. And we're going to talk about stopping the war, about peace, about concessions, compromise. But you stay out of the room. We're going to talk about that behind your back. The two superpowers. Yeah, we'll take care. Trust us. We got this. It's disgusting. And not only Ukraine was excluded, all of Europe was excluded. And they are outraged by that. Oh, my God. You know, the amount of money they have poured in, it's about the same as the amount of money we've poured in. And they're willing to double that if we pull out. They have a vested interest in Ukraine remaining a sovereign state, remaining a democracy, becoming a member of the EU, becoming a member of NATO. Now, Trump has already given away key points. He's saying, oh, Ukraine won't become part of NATO. Ukraine's going to cede territory to the Russians. This is without any negotiations. He's basically just offering all this. You know, the way negotiations work, and I've never been part of an international a negotiation between countries, but this is what I've gotten. You go in there, and you basically say what you want. They say what they want. And then you sort of chisel away at that until you get something, which either everybody is content with or everybody is displeased with, but whatever it is, it's kind of equal. Well, that's not how Trump does it. What he does, he says before meeting anybody what the other side wants, saving them the trouble of demanding it at the negotiation. So now he's already ceded this to them. So what happens in the negotiation? They're going to get even more. Of course they're going to get even more. It's not how you negotiate. I mean, that is the dumbest approach I have ever seen. And today, you know, I'm hearing things, like demands from Russia, not surprising, that, nope, there can't be any foreign troops in Ukraine. Yeah. Okay, so they're making demands about a country that is not them, about who can be in it and who cannot be in it. And somehow that's supposed to work out. Somehow we're supposed to say, yeah, the country is going to stay peaceful. Nothing bad's ever going to happen again. Look, everything that we were told from 2014 up until the invasion came true. Everything. And, you know, it's been really moving to see the support from so many people around here, throughout the world. But to see all of that wiped away because of one idiot and his band of followers, it's disgusting. It's outrageous. And I sure hope it doesn't stand. I really hope that this is prevented from happening. Zelensky today is finally putting his diplomatic hat aside and speaking from the heart and expressing his impatience with what Trump is doing. As well he should. Europe doing the same thing. Pick a part of the world that we're pissing off this week. I mean, you know, every night in Canada, our national anthem is booed at hockey games every night. And they are not happy. And it takes a lot to make Canadians this angry. But they have every right to be. After the way we're treating them, you know, threatening tariffs and this whole 51st state nonsense, oh my God. It's crazy. It's crazy. He actually thinks that he can just march in there. I mean, this is a parallel to Putin. He's going to march into Canada and just take it? Whether using military force or economic pressure, he thinks he can just take over this land? And, you know, the thing no one's talking about, this kind of upsets me because, you know, the whole thing is not going to happen. It can never happen. But why is he referring to it as the 51st state? You know, every one of the provinces there is a state or would be a state. So, you know, every territory. So you've got a whole bunch, not just one state. I mean, that'd be rather awkward looking on a map, wouldn't it? To have all these little states in the United States and this massive thing above you. I mean, that would be weird. Why wouldn't Alaska just become part of Canada then? You know, I'm not even going to entertain the notion. It's so ridiculously stupid. But Trump says that Putin wants to stop fighting in Ukraine. Really. He knows this. His bestie over there, he knows where he's coming from. The way he was talking about Zelensky today at his press conference, it was like Zelensky was the enemy. This was the guy who's acting unreasonable. A guy who's had his homeland invaded by an outside force. People massacred, atrocities committed. And now he's the one that's acting irrational because he doesn't want Russia to invade his country anymore. This is not a war. It's an invasion. Wars involve, you know, bombings. I know that Ukraine has started to attack Russia because you have to do that at some point. Ask anyone involved in fighting for their freedom. You have to strike at the enemy and do something to give them a black eye, make them think twice about continuing to hurt you. But it's nothing that compares with what Russia has been doing to Ukraine these last 3 years. And to see our country take the side of a monster like Putin over Zelensky, and that's exactly what we are doing right now, it's shameful. It's shameful. It's a very sad day for our country. There have been a lot of sad days for our country lately, and a lot of reasons why these days are sad. And I hope through what we say here during this hour that we can come together, maybe inspire each other, maybe figure out ways to deal with this, ways not to deal with this. I don't really know what else we can do. But as long as we still have the means to communicate amongst ourselves, then we had damn well better take those. Use them for all we can.
Wow. How do I even follow up those stirring words? I am with you, and I think a lot of people here, I've got a lot of different perspectives on this, theories, really tempting theories. But I think the fact is I don't know for sure, but I have a hunch that, well, first of all, most Americans don't travel. A lot of them just do not. They don't have passports. That's a fact about our country. And for those that do travel, it's going to be incredibly difficult. I mean, it's possible, but it's going to be incredibly difficult for us to show our faces anywhere. Setting foot in the UK, in Europe, in Canada even, Mexico, you name it, and Ukraine. I've been to Ukraine.
We've both been. We've been to Ukraine together twice.
Several times.
At least twice.
Yeah. Passed through. And so that alone is profoundly difficult. Going to places like Germany, going to places like France and Spain, you name it, so many large and small countries, the Baltic states, and to present as an American now and have to, you'll spend your whole trip trying to convince people that this does not actually represent you personally, as well as a large swath of our nation, whether they travel or not. And I know that a lot of Americans don't care because they don't travel. They don't have passports. I'm sorry for you. And that sounds a little condescending. I know. I'm sorry. I can't help it right now. I'm sorry you don't travel. And I do. I like meeting people who are different from other parts of the world. And in the travel that I've done, it's always difficult to try to get past stereotypes about our country, or to not be associated with conflicts, with killing, massacres, failures in history, or conquest, or, you know, global capital, and all the byproducts, the things that, the baggage, there's a travel metaphor, the baggage that comes with that. So that's one thing I'm thinking about, and I could go on and on and on and on just about that topic. But what I think about this particular leader and these actions on the world stage, I am more convinced than ever that the allegations against this president having been compromised by Russia were always true. And I think they're even more, it's more evident now that he is utterly compromised through and through. I mean, maybe there's a deal. This is like an energy play, because I have a lot of critique of global energy, and that's a whole other issue. You know, we can talk about the Holocene extinction and all of the, you know, things we're doing to biodiversity. Yeah, I mean, we're going on 9 billion people, and all of a sudden we're having conversations about why people shouldn't abstain from having children. I mean, just the things we're doing with factory farm, just to feed everyone. It's insane. I mean, you know, that's USAID aside. But I think that energy itself, if it's a whatever percent Russia was for crude oil and whatever that did for the energy markets, it's really the antithesis of, and do I have to emphasize that this president lies? But, you know, his mantra was that, you know, he's going to open the floodgates for American energy. And, I mean, it's no wonder Saudi Arabia is there. You know, we like our light, sweet crude, real easy to refine, all that. And maybe Russia, with their exports in oil, maybe that being a part of OPEC and that sort of macroeconomic system, that's the coming out of the cold that's really behind this. I don't know. I don't really care either. I'd like the aggressors, the murderousness at the, that is the bottom line, that is the underwriting of this profit seeking. I would like that to end at some point. I think it's amoral. That's my opinion. I mean, you don't have to be religious. You don't have to be a good or a bad or a, you know, halfway decent person to realize this is the consequences of these decisions by these ultra wealthy or not so wealthy, whatever. These plays are amoral. They are. And defending against war crimes and just the extreme violence, and I'm not just you know, rape and other crimes perpetrated in the fog of war that were evident, documented in Ukraine. They are the amorality that is underneath the veneer of these conquests, and co-signing it in Riyadh with Saudi Arabia moderating. It is, to me, the epitome of compromise. They are showing just how compromised they all are. And I think Trump is himself utterly compromised by Russia and our country as a result, whether it's for wealth, for just the financial reasons. But I'm thinking that I would like to see, as an American, what intelligence and what evidence there was in a lot of these cases. And I think a massive leak of some kind of evidence substantiating that is deserved if we're going to co-sign on this kind of violence. I want to know. I want to know exactly how compromised this fool is.
And when we find out, and we will find out, are people going to care? What is it going to take? Because no matter what happens, his defenders leap, you know, to his side and basically somehow manage to spin it into an advantage. And because the Democrats are so inept at resistance, he keeps getting away with it. You know, it's time. We've been saying this forever. Democrats have got to get up off their asses and start shouting and start getting in the way of this. And not just Democrats, all of us as well. You know, people are starting to take to the streets. Okay, great. It's been a month now. But, you know, there have been demonstrations in various places in reaction to all the cutbacks and chaos that is only beginning right now. But we're going to have to do a lot more than that. It's only when you start to become a pain in the ass that the powers that be are willing to make any kind of movement whatsoever to address issues, or at least just get you to pipe down a bit. If you just sit back and watch TV, yeah, they're going to do whatever they want, and then a whole lot more. You know, addressing some of what you were saying, Kyle, you know, a lot of this does, in fact, have to do with resources. In fact, you know, I saw this this headline the other day. United States presented Ukraine with a document to access its minerals, but offered almost nothing in return. And that apparently is what Trump has his eye on, rare earth minerals that are in Ukraine, also Canada, by the way. But basically with Ukraine trying to get them to sign those over to us, and then maybe you'll get a little more protection. Or maybe not. You know, it's like the mob is running our country. And I don't mean to offend the mob either. 12-year-olds and the mob in one show. No, I don't want to offend either group. But look at this. It's basically threatening that if you don't do things our way, things are going to get a lot worse for you. And pay us this, and maybe things will get better, but we're not going to make any promises.
Yeah, the term I've been thinking of is economic blackmail.
Mm-hmm.
They're blackmailing the Ukrainians to come to heel with signing away mining rights, so land rape of everything they've got, with promises that we'll do all kinds of security work for you. I believe that. So little. I'm convinced that it would be stolen, or more or less no sooner than that was inked, you'd get a pantomime, sort of like a show of participation, but we would in fact be leaking intelligence to the Russians. We would be basically selling them out, maybe not in the right places. You know, maybe we'd wait 12 hours before we did something. That seems to be in vogue these days. We would basically pretend to be a defending force there, but not ever be enough. And all the while, mining companies, all of that would go on, right? And as soon as the resources were taken, we would throw up our hands or basically not make good on that at all. Or, like I said, leak and otherwise give up information. Basically, only be participating so that we can violate the trust in giving information and ceding, allowing territory to be ceded while keeping up the appearance of doing that. I don't know it. That's what this feels like. That's what it's the direction we seem to be going is massive capitulation. And by the way, all those minerals like are for, yeah, computer chips, but advanced weaponry, right? Like let's be 100% honest about that. Like, yeah, sure. There's going to be some phones and there's going to be some machine learning equipment or, gadgets and things. Sure. The consumers will get some stuff, but make no mistake, these minerals are used and will be used for advanced systems, things like phased array radars, you know, really, really advanced electronics that are used in weaponry. And so we can sell more stuff or satellites or other kinds of stuff that basically has military purpose. So I don't believe for a second that this is actually going to really benefit people. It'll keep the average American enslaved with technology and in their place and compliant. But most of those minerals will go to weapon systems and intelligence systems and space dominance and militarizing both the internet and space and everywhere you can think of for our benefit and for the benefit of conquest.
you can bet that Trump and his cohorts will benefit quite a lot. They'll make tons of money. It's so corrupt, it's almost comical. You know, we were talking about what could potentially happen in Gaza a week or two ago, and that's exactly what's happening now. You know, it's and by the way, it doesn't feel good to have these things come true after we theorize about them. But yeah, let's just clear all the people out. Let's just get rid of all the Palestinians. Wouldn't that solve everything? You know, a few weeks ago, that would have been unconscionable to say. And now, Netanyahu is all aboard. I swear to God, these are the three worst people in the world, Putin, Netanyahu, and Trump. You know, I hope they all wind up in hell together for eternity when their time comes. But my God, to actually entertain that notion, you know, with Trump, it starts off as a joke, you know, like with the Canada thing. And then it starts to turn serious. And then before you know it, it's like the main thing. And so now what Trump wants to do is just bulldoze the whole place, get rid of all the Palestinians, and build resorts, build Trump towers or God knows what else, and keep the Palestinians away. Yeah, it's so convoluted. It's insane. But basically he's saying, yeah, it'll be a wonderful place, open to everybody except Palestinians. We don't want them. Oh, Lord. And the fact that Netanyahu is basically, you know, chasing after Trump, accepting everything he says, shows what a horrible person he is. Shows the detrimental effect he's happening on his country. My God. Anyway, so that actually happened last week. That was put forward, and now it's being taken seriously, as if something like that could possibly ever happen. I mean, you think there was resistance in the past? You think there were terrorist acts in the past? You have no idea what can happen if you do this to people. Just try to erase them completely. Wow. I would be amazed if after the idiotic ways that Netanyahu has dealt with issues over the past couple of years, I would be amazed if Hamas has not doubled in size since then. He is the biggest recruiter for them. But let's stick to our own country for now, and we have enough problems right here. Least of which, no, not the least of which, probably the most of which is Elon Musk. Oh my God. So now Elon Musk wants access to everyone's Social Security information and IRS information. Yeah. Everyone. Millions and millions of people. The top official at the Social Security Administration stepped down this weekend after members of Elon Musk's so-called Department of Government Efficiency sought access to sensitive personal data about millions of Americans held by the agency. That's according to people familiar with the matter who are too scared to identify themselves. And when we say members of his so-called Department of Government Efficiency, we're talking about teenagers. We're talking about people that want to be just like him. We're talking about people that embrace fascism and spew racist rhetoric and do all kinds of other horrible things. Jackbooted thugs. That's what we're looking at right now. Maybe there are some nice people in that group. I don't know. Not seeing a whole lot of indication of that. And I'm seeing a lot of attempts to cover up who's actually doing what, while at the same time saying there isn't enough transparency and we're going to reveal everything. And so what you have occasional things blurted out by Elon Musk on Twitter that says, look at the stupid name of this department that's embracing diversity. We're going to cut that. And somehow he's able to do that. Somehow he's able to just wipe it out by basically getting people on his side, saying this is a stupid name, this shouldn't get any funding whatsoever, without knowing anything about what the program actually is. Doing this time and time again. Anyway, back to Social Security Administration. The resignation of Michelle King, the acting commissioner, is the latest abrupt departure of a senior federal official who refused to provide Musk's lieutenants with access to closely held data. Yeah, lieutenants. Musk's team has been embedding with agencies across the federal government and seeking access to private data as part of what it has said is an effort to root out fraud and waste. Now, Social Security payments account for about $1.5 trillion, or a fifth of the annual federal spending in the United States. Yeah. President Trump has pledged not to enact cuts to the program's retirement benefits, but he has indicated he's willing to look for ways to cut wasteful or improper spending from the retirement program that pays benefits to millions of Americans. If you don't know what you're doing, that can be very, very harmful. Musk's team at the Social Security Administration was seeking access to an internal data repository that contains extensive personal information about Americans. It's you and me. Everybody. According to two people familiar with the matter, who spoke on the condition of anonymity out of fear of retaliation. Yeah, that's a thing. The agency's systems contain financial data, employment information, and addresses for anyone with a Social Security number. Do you have a Social Security number? Then you're part of this. And just why, in this transparent era, with all this wonderful change that Musk and Trump are bringing to us, why are people afraid to talk about what they are actually doing? I didn't see any judgment here. Musk is seeking access to an internal data repository that contains extensive personal information about Americans. If he finds out that you said that, then you're going to be retaliated against by the richest person on earth. What was the secret exactly? What was something that we're not supposed to know, and why aren't we supposed to know that? SSA has comprehensive medical records of people who have applied for disability benefits, said Nancy Altman, who is president of Social Security Works. That's a group that promotes the expansion of Social Security. It has our bank information, our earnings records, the names and ages of our children, and much more. Warning about the risks of Musk's teams gaining access to the data, Ms. Altman added, there is no way to overstate how serious a breach this is. And this is in addition to the breaches we've been discussing over the past couple of weeks. Now he wants access to the IRS taxpayer data. Yeah. And that contains the personal tax information of all of us, pretty much everybody. The system is known as the Integrated Data Retrieval System. It's used by IRS employees to review tax information, issue notices, and update taxpayer records. According to the files, which is tightly controlled within the agency, access to the files, had not yet been granted as of this weekend, and it's still, I believe, tied up in court. But can you imagine? Can you imagine him getting access to this and just being able to pick and choose what gets cut and what does not? Oh, yeah, Trump said he's overseeing. Do you really think Trump can oversee this? He has any conception or interest in what's going on here? And now they're talking about, well, if judges rule against us, we're just not going to obey them. Yeah, we don't have to do that. What are they going to do? And what are they going to do exactly? When they don't obey a federal judge who says you can't do this, what happens? Because these people get away with everything. Keep in mind how many crimes Trump was charged with. He was convicted of crimes. Hasn't touched him at all. He's made money from it. And so many people have been brainwashed into saying, well, it doesn't count because it was unfair. Uh-huh. So the whole legal system is just a mockery. All these different agencies, different legal systems throughout the country, different lawyers, different judges. But they all drank the Kool-Aid. Yeah. When you lose faith in the system, well, then you basically are building a different system. And, you know, there's a lot of reason why many of us should have lost faith in the system. Yet somehow we keep going back to it. Somehow we keep saying, we'll see you in court. We'll vote you out of office. We'll use the system to defeat you. And increasingly, it seems that the people who are in opposition don't care about the system anymore. I hear the phrase post-constitutional era. That is what Republicans are calling this. Post-constitutional. The Constitution, it's over. We don't need that anymore. We've got bigger and better things. We're going to make our own rules. I cannot overstate how dangerous a situation this is right now. And if we ever cared about this country, this is the time to wake the hell up and do something. What was that quote that Trump posted this weekend? He who saves the country is not guilty of any crime or cannot break the law, something like that. Basically an echo of something that fascists have said in the past. And
I think it was even misattributed. It was attributed to Napoleon, but it's actually not actually a, was not actually a quote, a quotation.
Well, it wasn't his quote. He didn't make it up. That's
fully.
Sure. Yeah.
It's a sort of ominous reference to specious attribution.
Well, okay, fine. But that doesn't just apply to Trump. Okay. That applies to anyone else who quote unquote saves the country. It's a double-edged sword there. What do we have here? This is an article from Vox. As Elon Musk has rampaged around the federal government for 4 weeks, canceling contracts and dismantling whole departments, he's claimed all the actions of his Department of Government Efficiency were maximally transparent. Yet there's been nothing transparent about the details of Musk's actual job in the administration, which has been a murky mystery that's only deepened of late. For some time after Trump was sworn in, it was unclear whether Musk even was officially working for the government. 2 weeks in, the administration confirmed he was indeed a special government employee, but declined to give further details. Well, late yesterday, White House aide Joshua Fisher finally provided an answer of sorts. As part of court proceedings in a lawsuit, Fisher made a declaration about Musk's role under penalty of perjury. Though that answer was rather curious. Fisher revealed that Musk is a White House senior advisor to the president with no greater authority than any other senior White House advisors. That means, he continued, that Musk has no actual or formal authority to make government decisions himself. Musk can only advise the president and communicate the president's directives. But what about DOGE, which Trump established in the executive branch as the U.S. DOGE service? Well, Fisher said, Musk is not the head of the U.S. DOGE service or even an employee of it. Yeah, did you know that Elon Musk doesn't work for DOGE? As for who does run it, the administration has not said. Yeah, so, you know, Trump announced back in November that Musk would be leading DOGE. And both Trump and Musk have certainly been presenting Musk as in charge of DOGE, but the administration is now claiming that legally, on paper, he is not, even though he obviously is. The pay no attention to that billionaire behind the curtain caginess likely is part of an effort to shield Musk from ethics and court scrutiny. It also serves to put his actions on firmer legal footing by claiming they fundamentally just amount to the president running the executive branch through Musk, his instrument. It's disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. We have this that just happened, actually. A judge has declined to grant a request by 14 state attorneys general to temporarily bar Elon Musk and his associates from accessing data at 7 federal agencies and moving forward with their efforts to slash the federal workforce. The judge said the states had not shown specific examples of how the work of Mr. Musk's so-called Department of Government Efficiency could cause the state's irreparable harm.
They have to appeal that. They
don't understand how you it doesn't show. Obviously, if you cut all this, it's going to harm. Oh my God!
I read a little bit into that, and apparently they were citing media reports, but it's again, there's not actual transparency, so they don't have much to cite unless someone leaks something, or unless there's a anonymous, you know, some insider who wants to testify or become a witness in this, and. It did seem that Judge Chutkin, so let's not prejudge this judge, but that individual did seem to indicate that on appeal, if there was evidence, that this may be a strong case. But so I hope it is appealed, and I hope that they come back with some concrete stuff or some people that are willing to participate.
Meanwhile, a top federal prosecutor in Washington has resigned. Rather than use the power of the Justice Department to freeze the bank accounts of a government contractor, that's according to her resignation letter. People familiar with the matter said the resignation of Denise Chung, who oversaw the office's criminal division, appeared to be connected to a push by the new head of the Environmental Protection Agency to claw back money from clean energy and other projects. That new head, by the way, is former corrupt Congressman Lee Zeldin, who is a basically echo chamber for Donald Trump, and now he's the head of the EPA. Good luck, environment. Oh, my God. It's like a living nightmare. And his successor, no dream either. That's Nick Lolota. Well, people are starting to get upset with him as well. For the second time in 2 days, Representative Nick Lolota faced calls from constituents over a lack of public meetings. That was Lee Zeldin's thing, too, not ever meeting with the public, just hearing from the people who bankrolled him and, who basically participated in, I don't know, anything with a fascist tinge to it. Yeah, and then you had his ear. Constituents and members of the East Hampton Town Democratic Committee rallied outside Lolota's event recently, where he provided an update on emergency dredging of Lake Montauk Inlet in Montauk. They expressed concerns about Trump's cuts to the federal government and Elon Musk's role in the administration. The demonstration also followed a large protest outside of Lolota's Hop Hog district office on Monday. Hundreds lined the street over similar concerns. And by the way, that office, should you care to visit it, or arrange a demonstration in front of it, it's at 515 Hop Hog Road, and the suite number is 3B, if you want to rally right outside the suite. Their phone number, if you want to call, make sure they're there, area code 631-289-1097. I'll give that one more time. The Hop Hog office of Representative Nick Lolota, 515 Hop Hog Road, suite 3B, Hop Hog, New York, phone number 631-289-1097. Of course, he also has an office in the Cannon House office building in Washington, D.C. And I don't know what this is. This shows up on the webpage. But it's a Rocky Point mobile office. And apparently something happens Thursday from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. It just says after that, not an active mailbox. I don't know what that means. But if you want to check it out and see what that's all about, they're at the Rocky Point VFW Post 6249 on 109 King Road in Rocky Point, New York. And the phone number actually is the same, 631-289-1097. And his phone number in Washington, D.C., by the way, 202-225-3826. So that's all the information on Nick Lolota that I care to give out at this moment. But there's more. There's more from New York congresspeople. Representative Claudia Tenney is a name I've never said before. I have no idea where she is from, but she's somewhere in New York State, big state, a lot of unrecognizable places up there. She has introduced a bill to make President Trump's birthday a federal holiday. Yeah, called the Trump's Birthday and Flag Day Holiday Establishment Act. And I don't even know what that spells, if it spells anything. It would designate June 14th as a federal holiday commemorating both Trump's birthday and Flag Day. By the way, did you know it's Flag Day on Saturday in Canada? And boy, did they have fun with that. basically booing the U.S. and cheering Canada. That was a whole lot of fun. But, yeah, Flag Day in this country has always been on June 14th, and unfortunately it seems to be Trump's birthday as well. So they're going to try and co-opt that and somehow honor him. Oh, my God, this just gets worse and worse. Just as George Washington's birthday is codified as a federal holiday, this bill will add Trump's birthday to this list. Okay. George Washington was an actual president. He was a leader. He was somebody who did things, said things that made sense, understood, you know, the new country that he was a part of, and basically somebody I would give anything to have leading this country at this moment. Despite his flaws, they pale in comparison to what we're dealing with right now. So to compare Donald Trump to George Washington, there's got to be something you can be charged with for that. There's got to be. Anyway, it's a day of national observance, but Flag Day is not a federal holiday. By designating Trump's birthday and Flag Day as a federal holiday, said Tenney, we can ensure President Trump's contributions to American greatness and the importance of the American flag are forever enshrined into law. Or what we see as law. And, you know, it goes on from there. It goes on from there. It's not the only one. Not the only bill being proposed to honor Trump. In January, Republican Florida Representative Anna Paulina Luna introduced a bill that would carve Trump into Mount Rushmore. Wait. Carve the actual Trump into Mount Rushmore? It doesn't say. It says carve Trump into Mount Rushmore. All right. I'm going to withhold judgment until I know more about this. But according to a press release, this would happen right next to former President Abraham Lincoln. They want to put him on Mount Rushmore. President Trump's bold leadership and steadfast dedication to America's greatness have cemented his place in history. Oh, I get it. Because it's stone. Yeah. Mount Rushmore, a timeless symbol of our nation's freedom and strength, deserves to reflect his towering legacy, a legacy further solidified by the powerful start to his second term. You know, we've talked about North Korea on this show many times. I've been to North Korea. And a lot of us wonder, how does North Korea happen? How do people get so brainwashed where they just, you know, don't know how not to sing the praises of Kim Jong-un or whoever the leader happens to be at the moment? Well, folks, this is an opportunity to learn how it develops. Because these are the seeds, and they're sprouting. You think I'm finished? No. Republican Representative Andy Ogles of Tennessee introduced a motion to honor the president. In his case, Ogles introduced a House joint resolution that would change the Constitution to allow a president to be elected for a third term. President Trump's decisive leadership stands in stark contrast to the chaos, suffering, and economic decline Americans have endured over the past 4 years. The amendment would allow President Trump to serve three terms, ensuring that we can sustain the bold leadership our nation so desperately needs. But his resolution would not allow Barack Obama to serve a third term. How the hell do you get away with that? You want a resolution that only allows the white guy to become president three times, but not the black guy. Okay, the amendment excludes presidents who have served consecutive terms. You know, you might as well have just said, no black people. You might as well just made up a rule because this is insane. Democrats are against this, and that's pretty much all I can say. They should be saying a lot more than just that.
Spring is coming, so sharpen the tines on your pitchforks.
I like this winter so far. This has been a decent winter.
And collect your oil drums
keep
warm.
How critical I am of bad winters. 2 years ago, we had no snow. Last year was kind of lame. This year, it's nice and cold. It's cold. It's windy. We've had a fair amount of snow. Here's the only notes I have. We need a big snowfall. We seem to get a lot of little snowfalls, and we keep getting missed. A storm goes too far to the north. A storm goes too far to the south. I want a storm to hit us head on, all right? And then I'll be happy. Then I'll stop complaining about winter.
I've been thinking about what we... where we're headed, what this all is. And I've been thinking a lot about the media and myself, like my contributions. I love community radio here. I will never be, I think this has solidified it, the goings-on in Ukraine, the happenings in Gaza, this kind of leadership within our country. I will never be on mainstream media. I will never be in, I will never be in music or, you know, on any kind of production like that. Maybe, you know, the Oscars, no films. I will never be, because, you know, I just won't not speak my mind. And I was thinking of SNL. They had a great anniversary, a lot of content, a lot of superstars.
Oh, that
there.
Was awesome. That was fun.
It's great. But, you know, a lot of people, once they get a certain level and they can say something, they don't say enough. And mm-hmm. I will never, I just feel like that's just not, that's not ever a club. That's not ever a platform I'll ever achieve. I won't. I will stay in obscurity because I just know too much. I know way more and have way more, like, whether it's, you know, the relegation of queer people in this country or trans people, just the sickening levels of hate. I won't be a part of those things and not be utterly distracted by how much of a distraction it is. I like watching TV, watching even the news, participating in these fun, whimsical things that, you know, we go about our lives with. I know we're all so busy, but I pay attention. I know what's going on. I'm well aware of status and station and how we kind of sweep things aside, how people are kind of molding themselves into the trend, the greater trend, or their perception of what America wants. I don't give a damn what America wants. I just find that even this space here at WSB, it's an amazing thing. I will keep saying what I feel, what comes to mind. I don't want to be right. I've never wanted to be right about any of this. I want to be dead wrong, totally wrong about all of it. But I just can't play along. I can't, you know, keep up the facade. I don't fit in that world. I'll never, ever join it. I just don't see it. It's too messed up and too obvious.
Well said. Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. There are people who occasionally say something. They're almost invariably told to shut up and play basketball or shut up and make movies or whatever. So if you do have the opportunity to speak up, you should take it. You always should.
You told me about that Elvis Costello moment where he, like, breaks out in one song. And then right after that happened, it occurred on the SNL musical special.
Yeah, well, somebody imitated it. But, yeah, that was a moment of SNL where Elvis decided to play Radio Radio, which is a very critical song. Hey, we're out of time. Write to us, otw@2600.com. Music is so important. If you have ideas for musical pieces, particularly new ones that capture the spirit of the day, send us suggestions. We'd love to hear them. And, you know, it's good to get lost in distractions occasionally if you come back stronger. And I couldn't recommend more of a distraction than this show, which we're playing the music from right now, a German show called Dark. It's on Netflix. And you can easily go through the next 4 years trying to figure it out. It's brilliant. We'll see you next week. Stay tuned.